And the 2-2 to Lindor, swinging a high fly ball, well hit to right. Betts going back, this might go, and it is gone, a home run! Francisco Lindor just pulled a Lenny Dykstra as he leads off a game in the postseason with a home run, and the Mets take an instant 1-0 lead.
Here's the payoff pitch. Swinging a drive in the air, pretty well hit right center. Paez back at the track, near the wall. It is gone!
A grand slam for Mark Vientos on a 3-2 pitch. He clears the bases, hitting it into the pavilion in right center field. Mark Vientos with the Mets' second grand slam of the postseason, his third postseason home run, has given the Mets a 6-0 lead.
Yeah! What a performance from the New York Mets. What a bounce back win after getting, you know, beaten pretty soundly in game one. They come back, and it was important against the bullpen game for the Dodgers. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. That's why I like the matchup. Their pitching is in shambles. And for this Mets team and for Lindor right away to hit that home run, that immediately, and, you know, Howie mentioned the Lenny Dykstra thing, and I was actually in the car for this for a minute. I heard him, I was on my way home leaving somewhere, just missed, you know, had to be in the car for the first inning and a half or so. I heard him talking about Lenny Dykstra and that the leadoff home run against, what is it? I forget which one. Houston? I forget which series he was talking about. But how important that first home run was, and it relaxed the entire team, and that's exactly what happened here. Like, they got beat 9-0. The Dodgers are on this unbelievable shutout against the Astros in 86, Game 3. For Lenny Dykstra to hit that leadoff home run and loosen up the team. The Dodgers haven't given up a run in 30-plus innings. They were, you know, on this unbelievable tear. They get beat 9-0 the day before. The offense does absolutely nothing, right? You're riding high on all this momentum. You're the team of destiny. You're the team that comes through all the time. You're the team that comes through in every big situation, and yet you were completely shut down in game one. You're in Los Angeles against the big bad Dodgers, the super team, and you know, the pressure is mounting. You have to win that game. You don't want to head back home down 2-0. This is an important game to do what you had to do and get that split. And, you know, if this thing persists, if you add another zero, you know, it might start to get tight for the New York Mets. And instead, their MVP, their guy, comes right out and hits that leadoff home run, and you knew it. Like, I don't know about you, Met fans. I know there's pessimism. Look, even as a Yankee fan, it's never over. I get it. When you're watching these games, it's never over. You're never as confident as an outside, independent observer who isn't living and dying with every pitch. To us watching, it might be, oh, it's over. For you, I understand not. But I'm telling you right now, as a Yankee fan, as someone who's not living and dying necessarily, although I'm rooting for them, with what happens with the Mets, I knew that game was over. That home run with Manaea on the mound, I already felt like that game was over. And then you get to the Vientos home run. I mean, the guy is an absolute stud. It's hard to fathom how good this young player has been in the postseason. How many big-time home runs, how many clutch home runs. I was in the car for this one as well, and I went back and looked at it, obviously. Yeah, it's a pitch down the middle. I thought he got under it. Like, this guy has unbelievable power. If you let him get his arms extended, he crushes baseballs. And he is on a great freaking run. And that grand slam, I know there are some tight spots later in this game, and Diaz is always going to make you a little bit nervous. And, you know, they come through with some runs, and they have that, you know, big rally to make it 6-3 before adding another run to make it 7-3. But with Manaea on the mound and this team doing what it's done here, that home run immediately made me feel like the Mets are going to win this game. The Mets are going to do what the Mets do, and they're going to bounce back, and they're going to take it to this Dodgers team that, quite honestly, the reason I thought they had a chance in the series is, I mean, it's game two. They're throwing bullpens at you. They don't have real pitching. And as much as it's amazingly done very well for them, I'm not saying it's a pushover and that, you know, of course you're supposed to score seven runs. It's not what I'm saying. But, I mean, in that moment, immediately to start the game, that's Lindor just saying, get on my back, fellas. And he's been unbelievable. And then the Vientos Grand Slam, obviously. And then Minaya, who, you know, gives you five-plus innings in this game. Two hits, two runs. Maton has been a little shaky here. Stanek, you know, comes in for an inning and a third. You get an inning and a third out of Maton, inning and a third out of Stanek, inning and a third out of Diaz, and he makes you sweat, as always. But I didn't think this game was ever in doubt. You did a really good job. Minaya did a really good job against Otani. You know, Freeman's hobbling out there. Mookie Betts is swinging and missing. He's, you know, I'm sorry. You want to talk about Aaron Judge? Mookie Betts has been a terrible postseason player since 2020. Now, I know he's got a championship, and he won one with Boston in 18. So Aaron Judge has yet to see the World Series. But you look at the bottom of that lineup. I know Edmund got you in this game, and he got three hits in this game. But you look at the rest of that lineup, they completely, if you're gonna have a game where Lindor and Vientos hit home runs and Lindor hits a leadoff home run, and this offense does what it does, and listen, there's still issues with it. Iglesias is kind of cold. He does get a hit in this game, but he's kind of cold. Nimmo's kind of hobbling out there with a plantar fasciitis. Did make a great catch on the run, despite dealing with that. Alvarez is completely lost at the plate. But if your heroes, your guys at the top of the order, I'll tell you right now, if you look at the Mets top of the order and you compare it with the Dodgers top of the order, if Lindor and Vientos are going to have three hits and five RBIs and two home runs, and Otani, Betts, Hernandez, and Freeman are all going to go 0-for. I mean, Otani 0-for-3, Betts 0-for-4, Teoscar Hernandez 0-for-3, Freddie Freeman 0-for-5, Will Smith 0-for-4, Edmonds and Muncy, and then I guess Pagés at the end of the game has a hit, but with a couple of walks. You know, Otani walks twice, Betts walks once, Hernandez walks twice. But if you're going to go through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the top five of this Dodgers lineup, and let's be honest, the bottom of the lineup, yeah, Muncy gets the home run, and he can be scary. He's got some power. He's not an all-around very good hitter. Kiki Hernandez has been good in the postseason, but he's still Kiki Hernandez. You look at Edmund, these guys are bunting in game one. They're bunting runners over. You know, Lux is bunting runners over. That's the bottom of this Dodgers lineup. If you can have the top five hitters, Otani, Betts, Hernandez, Freeman, Smith, go over, that's a recipe for success for this Met team. Lindor and Vientos, two home runs, five RBIs. The first five hitters of the Dodgers, over. That's the difference in this game. That's the difference in this game. That's where the Mets won it, and that's where the Dodgers lost it. And the Mets will have the better pitching. I mean, the Mets have the deeper pitching. I don't think there's any question about it. And we'll see what they decide to do with Kodai Senga moving forward in this rotation. But like, this is why I told you the Mets respond. The Mets lineup is deeper top to bottom, and the Mets have a deeper rotation. You want to put the bullpen, you know, on similar par, other than Edwin Diaz being the closer? Okay. They've been really good. They pitch really well. They haven't given up a lot of runs. They had a scoreless inning streak that I can't believe looking at the bullpen and looking at this starting rotation for the Dodgers. This is an opportunity. This was a game they needed to have to win this series, and they went out there and took it from the first at bat. That's what you love about this team. From the first at bat, they went out there and took this game. Are you wrong about which one was the Dykstra home run?
The Dykstra home run, that was the walk-off.
One's the leadoff home run?
The leadoff was against the Red Sox in the World Series, Game 3.
Okay.
Also Game 3.
Thank you. But whatever the case may be, a game they needed, right? That team lost the first two games of that series at home against Boston. and then came back, and obviously game three was important, and Dykstra's home run is important. Lindor's home run is important. That they went out there and took this game from the first at-bat. And if you stifle that top of the order, if you don't let Ohtani beat you, you don't let Betts or Freeman beat you, that's the recipe for success. Now, they got to continue to do it. But they are in for a long series. This is going to be a great series. There is a chance, and I don't want to get ahead of myself with the Yankees because anything could happen. You know, Cole could not have it later tonight, I suppose. Anything could happen. There's a chance the Yankees have a short series. I don't think there's a chance that the Mets and Dodgers don't go six. This is going to be a very good, they are both very good teams. This is going to be a hard-fought series. This is going six or seven. There's a chance that it's quick with the Yankees and Guardians. There's a chance to go six or seven as well, but there's a chance it's quick. I don't think there's any chance the Mets and Dodgers aren't having a fun back-and-forth long series. And I honestly think the Mets have the deeper lineup and the deeper rotation. This is going to be fun. We are six wins away from a Subway Series. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Steven in Manhattan. What's up, Steven?
All right, Big Chris.
What's up?
I'm glad you guys got that right with Howie Rosen, the Dykstra, pulling a Dykstra.
Yeah.
I tell you what, that leadoff home run in Game 3 up in Beantown.
Yeah.
I mean, him and Carter with their home runs in Game 3s and 4, Carter hit 2 in Game 4, pulled the Titanic definitely out of the iceberg. And then it was, you know, one of the most memorable World Series, that Game 6. All right, so listen, this is what we want. You want October full of action. We got it now. And, I mean, the Yankees, listen, I'm just going along with this Yankee team. I was glad they're relatively healthy for the playoffs. I know a couple of guys are out. Cortez and Rizzo are out. I don't see how anybody comes back with broken fingers. How do you grip a bat?
He did, and it's his first at bat. He hit an absolute bullet. So.
Yeah. And no, but the bones have healed now. But in the beginning, when they were saying, like, the first round, your hands have to be fully recovered from that. But also, unless you want a bat and you have those fingers out and they're not around the bat, that's different.
Well, I mean, you can't not have the fingers on the bat. And I don't think they're fully healed. They're broken fingers. I don't think they've healed already. It's just the pain tolerance thing. He's able to grip it. He's able to swing. He's got to deal with the pain. And, you know, so far, so good. He was taken out of the game late, for he was mentally and physically drained, whatever that means. I just think that he misplayed a ball at first base, and they wanted to make sure they had a defender who doesn't have a broken hand underneath his glove. Like, I just think that was it. But the decision to start him I was surprised that they put him on the roster and they played him, but I do think he's a leader. He's someone who's won a championship. He broke a 100-year curse. He's someone this team believes in. He's a left-handed bat that you could put in this lineup. And, you know, I think they just feel like their best team is with Anthony Rizzo being a part of it. So we'll see moving forward. But, yeah, I mean, right now it's the Yankees. If they go out and win tonight with Cole backing them, I would feel pretty damn good about this series.
Well, it looks good with Cole going to game two. I mean, let's face it. You got your ace going. You want to get out of that gate quickly.
Yep.
And Rizzo is a beast, and he is a tough guy, which we like. Also with the Jets, I mean, I know a lot of people have had this season written all different ways. Most of it winning, you know, some playoff games. I still the Jet offensive line. You know what I would do, Chris? If I was building a team, right, the first thing I would build would be the offensive line. Forget about all these named quarterbacks and everything. Yeah. You could get a quarterback through free agency. You could draft one still. I would put together a monster offensive line. I wanted the Jets to draft Brock Bowers because I thought he was going to be a good tight end. I thought he would have some offense. But those tight ends, these guys could block too.
Yeah, I mean, but that's not why you're not going to draft him to block. I mean, you literally just said, I want to build an offensive line, and then you want to draft a player that really, I mean, sure, he blocks a little too, but, I mean, and they did draft a tackle. It's not like, I mean, you know. They've tried to build the offensive line. I love it because we have had so much talk about the offensive line around here. With the Jets, yes, but obviously with the Giants too over the last handful of years. And it's always the same thing. Like, I don't understand. Like, it's easy. They've been trying to. They act like the Giants and Jets haven't attempted to draft the offensive line. Do you know how many offensive line draft picks the Giants have taken in the first round, the first two rounds? Over the last decade, I mean, going all the way back to Flowers, Andrew Thomas, Evan Neal, the list goes on. Pugh was a top two or three draft pick. Hernandez, who's actually playing well for the Cardinals right now. I'm not sure if he's hurt, but he was having a good year with the Cardinals before he got hurt. I think he's okay. But, you know, Hernandez was a top draft pick. Like, they have top draft picks all over the place at the offensive line. They attempted. They went out and spent the most money ever on a tackle in Nate Solder. Like, they made dumb decisions. It's not that easy. Ray in the Bronx. What's up, Ray?
Chris McMonagle, how you doing, man?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing good. Chris, I want to talk about the good and the bad real quickly.
Okay.
Number one, feel good for the Mets. I really do. They pulled it off tonight, tied the series. My Yankees, definitely, I want to see a Subway Series without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful results. Let's get to the ugly. Chris, 11 penalties. I understand them as field goals, but 11 penalties.
Yep.
Totaling 110 yards.
That is correct.
What's going on? What's going on there?
The same thing that's always gone on. Like, we thought the head coach was going to, and I remember, you know, I forget who it was, but I saw one of, like, a Jet guy on Instagram or TikTok or whatever, and he was talking about an answer that Olbrich gave in a press conference, you know, this past week when asked, you know, the penalties and the preparation's been so bad. And, you know, the starts of these games have been so bad. And to be fair, they did start better offensively, certainly, in the first quarter and first half compared to what they've done over the last few weeks. But, you know, he said, well, you know, it's a matter of, you know, it's a matter of just being there. It's a matter of getting to the meetings early and, you know, making sure the pencils are in our hands and blah, blah, blah. And, like, this Jet, you know, guy was like, what a damning statement against Robert Saleh, you know, that he's talking about nobody shows up to the meetings or nobody has their pencil in their hands. And I'm like, okay, or he has no freaking clue how to get the team going in the first half or how to kill the penalties. So he gives you cliches like, I don't know, let's show up to the meeting on time. Like, how do you stop the penalties? I don't know, and neither does Olbrich. 11 penalties for 110 yards. It's not just Robert Saleh. It never was. Now, he wasn't a very good head coach. You want to get rid of him? Fine. But let's not act like suddenly all the ills were going to be cured because Robert Saleh wasn't the head coach for a week. Like, it's just ridiculous.
I totally agree. And you got a Hall of Fame player tackling a guy in the end zone. He was like 2 yards in the end zone, tackling this guy.
Yeah.
What are we doing, man?
I have no idea.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. It really is.
No, I mean, listen, you got it, Ray. There's the good, the bad, and the ugly. There is no doubt. And the bad and the ugly reserved for the New York Jets, at least on this day, where every other local team won, like every other one. John in Maspeth. What's up, John?
T-Mac, how's it going, man?
What's up, brother? How are you?
I'm doing good, man. You know, the Yankees won. It's always good when they win. But you know what? They're pushing their luck. They're pushing their luck, man. I'm going to shoot off their stats so far with runners in scoring position in the playoffs.
Yep.
In games 1, 2, 3, and 4 against Kansas City, 2 for 11, 1 for 6, 0 for 6, and 3 for 10.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight, 0 for 7.
Yep.
In 5 games, they left 45 runners on base.
Yep.
They are 6 for 42 so far this year in the playoffs for runners in scoring position.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to cut it.
And,
you know, that's
and,
a 142 average.
And they've lost one game.
And they lost one
and
game.
And they've lost one game. They are 4-1 in this postseason doing it that way. They've put how many guys on? You want to go look through the rest of the teams in the playoffs and see how many times or how many people have put on that many, have put that many runners on? You know how many walks they've worked in this postseason?
Yeah.
You know how many walks they've worked in this postseason?
Relying on the pitching way too much. We got to score some runs, you know?
They scored 5 runs. They scored 6 runs in game 1. They haven't been lucky enough to go against, and I'm not trying to knock the Mets here, but they haven't been lucky enough to go up against a bullpen game, Right? Like this game was nobody's. I'll give you Alex Cobb isn't somebody that scares me. But the Royals threw out a guy in Michael Wacha, who's a very accomplished pitcher who happens to have very good numbers against Aaron Judge and a lot of the Yankees, and then two top five Cy Young Award candidates. Like Reagan's and Lugo are legitimately good pitchers. And they scored 6 runs in game one, won that series in 4 games, and then took care of business and scored 5 runs in this game. And you know what? Yeah, 2 of the runs were on wild pitches. You know why their wild pitches scored runs? Because they had good at-bats to load the bases. That's why. Luck is the residue of design, my friend. Do they need to start coming through with hits with runners in scoring position? Yeah, of course. They hit 2 home runs in this game. Judge got a sacrifice fly. And they had 2, you know, bases loaded, you know, wild pitches. I really don't care how they score the runs. They had a bases loaded situation. 2 runs came in. I'll take it. I just, and for some reason, the Yankees are not getting credits for drawing walks. I don't know why the fan base is like angry with them or it doesn't count for some reason. Like, watch these at bats. It's not just 4 balls in the dirt and then the guy, and then whoever it is, Verdugo, walks the first base. You have to work these walks. You have to work these at bats. They have guys in running with runners in scoring position the entire game. They need to come through, obviously, but they're 4-1 in the 5 games they've played. They've got Cole on the mound. You want to talk about relying on pitching? Of course. Who doesn't rely on pitching? The back end of the bullpen's been unbelievable. You have to rely on your pitching. And Judge has got to come through, and they got to hit better runners in scoring position. Yeah, but you know what I say? You want to say the Yankees are pushing their luck. I will tell you these other teams are pushing their luck walking 7-8 Yankees a game. They're pushing their luck giving the Yankees 7-8 free passes because eventually, it's going to come back and bite them. It hasn't yet, and they've still beaten everybody. 888-808-1019. Val, I see you. We're going to come back. Take your calls right after the break. McMonagle here with you till 5 o'clock right here on The Fan.
When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
Swing on, a high fly to left. Back goes Melendez on the track. He's at the wall, and she's gone! A Stantonian home run. He drove a high fly deep left into the Yankee bullpen to give the Yankees a 3-2 lead. Giancarlo, no sequel, Stofalo.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Yeah! You might as well jump back on the Clay Holmes bandwagon. That's right. I want to say something just real quick on Clay Holmes, because someone, Tom on Twitter just reminded me of something I wanted to say, because I'm seeing this a lot. Because, yes, I defended Clay Holmes when no one else would. I continued to talk about Clay Holmes and his good stuff, and I believe in Clay, when no one else would. When many people told you can't go to him in any kind of tight situation at all. In fact, it's a wasted roster spot to put him on the postseason roster. Clay Holmes sucks. You can't pitch Clay Holmes anymore. Blah, 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 blah. I was the one defending him. So now I'm taking great joy, not only because he's pitching great for the New York Yankees and literally been as impactful as any pitcher on this staff in these 4 victories that they've accrued here in the postseason, but also because, yeah, he's kind of my guy. And so I've tweeted out a lot about it, and I think people have said it. And here's the thing that bothers me in the response, because the people who hated Clay Holmes, the many of you who had seen enough of Clay Holmes, the many of you who wanted Clay Holmes the hell out of here, are leaning on the idea of, well, he's finally being used in the right situation. Well, he's not the closer anymore. It was quite obvious he's not the closer. So now that he's pitching in the 6th, 7th, 8th inning, clearly that's why he's doing better. And here's what I'll say. Poppycock. That's right. poppycock. Because if you're trying to argue that Clay Holmes couldn't handle the pressure of the ninth inning in a July game against the Kansas City Royals in a meaningless game, relatively, a one of 162, or he couldn't handle just an average ninth inning of the regular season after being an all-star in the first half. But he can handle the pressure of being in the sixth inning of a playoff game with the tying run on third base and Bobby Witt Jr. at the plate. That situation, pressure's fine because it's not the ninth inning. I'm sorry. Here's the facts. Clay Holmes is pitching better. Clay Holmes is trusting his sinker. And if he were pitching in the ninth inning now, he'd be successful. He doesn't have to, and nor should he. I'm not clamoring that he should. Weaver's been great. Weaver's the closer. I ain't touching it. Weaver's been great. And this bullpen, like, and we also make it sound like, look, he blew two saves during the regular season pitching in the seventh and eighth inning. He was not, it wasn't like, oh, he was out of the ninth inning and suddenly he started pitching better. Not the case. Not the case. He still blew games in the seventh and eighth inning. And I remember coming on going, how do you give him a blown save in the seventh inning? Why? Because if he was Goose Gossage, he could have finished the game. They don't do that anymore. It shouldn't be a blown save. I remember having that conversation twice. Much like Stanton, when he hits the postseason, something flips, something switches. And the guy has been unbelievable for the Yankees in the postseason, yet to give up a run. And I'm firmly confident that if it were in the ninth inning, he'd be doing it in the ninth inning. This isn't an inning thing. This isn't a pressure thing because the pressure is never higher than now. Sixth, seventh inning, tying run on third base, Bobby Witt Jr. at the plate. You're telling me that, you know, a game against the Cardinals in August is more pressure because it's the ninth inning? It's never been about the ninth inning. It's been about Clay. Plain and simple. It's been about him throwing too many sliders. It's been about him not trusting that sinker. And right now, he's got the arm slot. Right now, he's got the belief and the trust in that pitch. And right now, he's dominant. And if for whatever reason they need him to do it in the ninth in the postseason, he will. So stop trying to find ways to still get by on saying, well, Clay Holmes is this and Clay Holmes is that. You know what Clay Holmes is? A dominant postseason pitcher. Let's just leave it at that. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls. Val in the Bronx. What's up, Val?
Brother Mac, what's going on, dude? How you doing this morning?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm all right. I got a few things I want to talk to you about with my Yankees, but if I could just say one thing about the Jets.
Yeah.
You mentioned something about Rodgers, and it's funny because until I get home and I actually watch the whole game, I don't want to say too much about it. But I was listening to the post game, and once they got into that, I said, let me check the score. And I went to the scorecast. I said, let me take a look at the score and see what's going on. I saw, I think it was like 2 minutes and 58 seconds left on the clock. The Jets had the ball, and the score was 23-20. And I said in my mind, these are the moments when somebody like Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, the guys who just need those final few minutes at the end of the game to take the game over and win the game. I said, you know what? I don't even need to watch the rest of this. I can go back to the post game because we have this game locked. And it wasn't until after when the post game was finally over that I went back that I realized that we lost the game. You were right when you said those are one of the moments why he was supposed to also change the look of my team. But that's another story altogether. To get to my Yanks, you know, a few things really quickly. You said something about Clay Holmes and Weaver and everything like that. Waldman was talking to Weaver in the pregame. And he brought up a reference, and me being older, I looked at it, I was like, this is crazy. That's to tell you how young this kid is. And it actually dated me and dated him. Mm-hmm. But he said something about the Power Rangers, and I almost started to laugh. But then I listened to what he said, and it made perfect sense. Because he said, and to his point, and it's the same way that Boone sees them, they see the bullpen as like one unit that breaks off into different pieces, and everybody has different skill sets. and can do different things at different times in the game. The only one that seems to be really locked in as far as the exact time that he comes in is me, but everybody else is up for grabs because they're just part of that, what, you know, comes together. I can't even remember the word they used to say when they would come together and join up
Assemble.
And make the monster. Something, I don't even know what it is. But it was a perfect analogy for what they are. And, you know, with the Rodon start today, a couple things that are nice about that. One, we actually get the opportunity now to get our Cole tomorrow on his full rest at his best. Yep. So Rodon start was able to create that. And additionally, it goes back to, because you're right, he did calm himself, and he mentioned it too. But part of it also was what the offense gave him and the cushion that they gave him to be able to just kind of relax and feel like he could, if it happened to have that, where he gave up the home run, make a mistake, and still be all right.
Right.
And the last thing I'm going to say, and then I'm going to get off and leave you and let you enjoy the rest of your morning. The last thing I'm going to say, the way the offense is going, and I've spoken to Hoffman, and he kind of didn't get what I was saying, but I feel like the way the offense has been going, it's a slow build that we're getting right now. And even Boone, everybody, like all of us are just waiting now for this one inning when they're really going to just unload and everything is going to explode and everything is just going to relax because they keep creating the traffic. They keep going through the process and doing the right things if that's the result of getting the walks. But now you're starting to see not just Stanton, Soto got the homer. The other guys are starting to slowly click and come together. It's like a build and it's slowly building into that one inning when they're going to throw up a crooked number and all hell is going to break loose from that point
on. Yeah, I agree with you, Val. They got to, and thank you for the call. They need that big hit. They need that one big hit to get them going. But right now, they are scoring enough runs. They're winning. They've won 4 out of the 5 games, and the pitching's been excellent. And the offense has put together a lot of good at bats. And even in this game, a lot of hard hit balls, a lot of line drives all over the place. They couldn't get the one with 2 outs, they couldn't get the one with the bases loaded. Now, again, the guy's so freaking wild. He's throwing, you know, wild pitches all over the place. Might not be the easiest guy to hit, but whatever the case may be, they scored enough runs here. And they've won, and they've pitched their asses off. And this bullpen has been amazing. And you know what? It's just, we went into the series. Another guy, I'm sorry, but Aaron Boone has had a tremendous postseason. Aaron Boone, up until now, everything can change. That's how postseason works. It'll all change tomorrow. Aaron Boone has had a unbelievable postseason. He's been pitch perfect. Every decision he's made, right? This one was to start Rodon. A lot of people didn't like it. A lot of people didn't like it. I wasn't sure about it myself. I kind of waffled on it, to be fair. I first thought maybe pushing back to the road, trying to calm his, you know, he's talked about trying to, you know, calm himself down. It's harder to do in the home crowd, Yankee Stadium going crazy. Maybe it's easier on the road, you know, get away from the situation with his wife and the social media and just the fans of the Yankees and blah, 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 and put him in a lesser spot. You're going to get a win from Cole. He used to feel it. Like, I thought, but then I believe that the game one was right for the bullpen. Because even if he doesn't pitch well, you got Cole today and then a day off the next day where you felt like, all right, the bullpen's in a good spot, rested for the last couple days. I can go deep into my bullpen, pitch everybody in this game one, feel good. Cole won't need me to back up with a lot of bullpen innings, and then I'll have a day off heading into Cleveland. So I thought it made sense. Plus, it's just trusting a guy. But if you look at it, every single decision, who started first base, who's out in left field, who he's given the ball to, the bullpen guys have been unbelievable. They've given up one run now. Hill gave up a run in this game. They've given up one run in 18 innings. Like, it's just been Aaron Boone, and we went into this, and I remember Joel Sherman wrote a whole big article about it. He was 100% right. This team, especially that first series, they're going to have 6 bench guys. They ended up not pinch running or pinch hitting all that much. But there's a lot of spots to pinch hit. There's some spots to pinch run with Stanton, and when not to. Right, a lot of people were tweeting me during that game where Stanton hit the game-winning home run in the 8th. He got on in the 6th. You got a pinch run for him here. Got a pinch run for him here. Aaron Boone said, no, home run in the 8th inning. The bullpen is going to be so important, you know, considering, you know, Canely and you know, all the different, and Holmes and all the different guys you want to deploy them. And, you know, some starters, you don't know how deep they'll go, whether it's Rodon or Heel or even Clark Schmidt. Like, it was going to be important. Aaron Boone was going to have to do a good job in this postseason. And so far, he's made every right call. Whatever you think of Aaron Boone, and I'm not saying that what he's done over the last five games deserves a 10-year contract extension. I'm not trying to tell you this suddenly makes him a great manager. I'm not even trying to tell you I told you so, even though I've been a Boone defender. All I'm saying is even the most ardent Yankee hater and Yankee fan who despises the manager and despises the general manager and hates the way they do business and hates the way this franchise is run and blah, 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 even you would have to admit Aaron Boone has done an incredible job in these first five games. Richard in Manhattan. What's up, Richard?
Postseason baseball is all about pitching.
Yes.
Everyone said, oh, Judge got to carry the Yankees. That means nothing. As long as a couple of guys are hitting, it's all about pitching, 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 pitching. I don't care if Judge hits 100, the Yankees can still win. That's the way postseason baseball is. Another thing, home field in postseason. Now, I mean, the way it's set up now, presently, home field means nothing. Nothing. The road team has a better record than the home team this postseason. So,
well, I mean, yeah, I don't know. That's pretty much just built on the wild card, no?
No. Yeah. That was 3-6. The wild card was 3-6. Since then, it's 500.
Yeah, but so the road I don't know. Team all the home teams, all the top seeds won other than the Mets.
Yeah.
The road record. Oh, I see. I'm sorry. I got you.
That's all.
Yeah.
Right. Three out of the four teams that were rested won.
Right.
Okay. As far as football, couple things. You take a guess, Chris, what the average team in the NFL is rushing per game this year. Take a guess. Average rushing.
How many yards
has the team gotten average?
I think
after 5 weeks.
Yeah, I think this has been a very heavy rushing season. I think the numbers.
All right. What do you take a guess?
A team itself has
probably one team, yeah, one game, yeah, and then one team.
Probably somewhere around 100. I'd say 95.
Oh, you're way off.
Oh, really?
125. 250
yeah.
a game. Yeah. So the running game is coming back in the NFL.
Yes, it's been a big something. Yeah, the running game's been big.
Means something. Running backs may be drafted in the first round now. We'll see.
No.
Look at Lamar and Derek in Baltimore. Look what they're doing. And look, one more thing, Chris.
Look at what all the other running backs who aren't, you mentioned it, like you're cherry picking a couple of the guys. Rushing's up around the league. It kind of proves the opposite point that you don't need the great running back because you're getting rushing throughout the league.
Oh, yeah, but they're really dominant Baltimore, though. But Okay, one last thing, Chris.
And the quarterback rushes as well. Good.
Yeah. One last thing I thought was really interesting I read. You know, Army-Navy dominated the 40s and 50s college football. They were always up there. Do you know that they're rated both 23 and 25? First time in 65 years. That both Army and Navy are in the top 25.
Yeah.
And what's amazing, they're ahead of schools like Nebraska, USC, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Who would have ever thought something like that even 5 years ago?
Yeah.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
No, you're 100% right. I didn't see the story that it's been that long. I did see that they were both in the top 25, and I figured it had to be a while. I can't. That is a remarkable job. You're right. To have both Army and Navy in the top 25, I mean, poor Minko. Poor Minko, all those years of doing Army football, couldn't get a win. Now they're in the top 25. Unbelievable. Eric in Ronkonkoma. What's up, Eric?
Hey, C-Man, good morning. Well, at least he's got St. John's basketball, though. Thankfully, there was a much better game yesterday for the Mets. You know, you were just talking about Clay Holmes trusting his stuff. You know, Diaz coming in the game yesterday. I don't understand. I don't know if it's him or if he should, you know, if Alvarez is calling for them or what. But, you know, he started off yesterday with all those sliders and got him into trouble real quick. And then once he switched over to the fastball, much more dominant. I mean, I understand, you know, needing to establish the pitch here and there. But, I mean, he's a worry waiting to happen. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, it was very evident once he started throwing. Now, look, I mean, you know, he's not always going to be right on target with the fastball, but it, you know, it clearly, you know, gets him out of trouble. And even the last time, I think, I forgot what game it was in the DS, that the same thing. They went to speak to him, and then he switched over to the fastball, and he was much, much better. So, yeah. I mean, I just, you know, it'd be nice if he could, I don't know if he's just not confident in it or whatever the problem is, but hey, at least he got the job done. But
he, I mean, listen, he's been shaky. It does seem to, once, but you know what's funny about him, though? Once he does throw that one fastball where it's perfect on the outside corner or exactly where he wants it, he kind of locks in.
I was just going to say, he does.
Like, it might take him a little bit to find it, but all it takes is the one, and then he finds it. It's really weird.
Well, it's interesting you said that because even a couple of pitches right before that, I don't know if it was Hector or one of us said, you know, he had a somewhat of a worried look on his face. And then almost immediately, like you said, then once he started throwing it, then his whole demeanor changed, which is great. But it's just, look, all I know is tied up. You know, we got the split that we needed coming out of there.
Yep.
And now LA gets to enjoy our nice mid-40-degree, fall weather at night.
That's true.
For this week, which should be interesting. And are they throwing another bullpen game? Do we know? Because I know that their starting pitching is somewhat shaky, the Dodgers. So,
I would think Yamamoto is on line for the next start, right? I think that would be his fifth day. He pitched.
Yeah, I'm sure. Right, I'm sure he's gonna. But then you got two games beyond that.
Oh yeah, no, they're gonna throw. They're gonna throw another bullpen game. Yes, absolutely. As long as the series goes long, I think it would be Game 6. They'd be lined up to throw another bullpen game or Game 5.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean they're gonna be. They're going to be lined up to throw another bullpen game, no doubt. They do not have the starting pitching, so this is not the first and last time you're going to see a bullpen game. They really don't. They got Buehler. I think he might. You know, you could see him start. I don't know if they've announced their Game 3 starter. He's been so. I went right into the Yankee game. I'll be totally honest with you.
MLB has Buehler and Yamamoto for 3 and 4.
Right, so 3 and 4. Buehler didn't pitch that well. Yamamoto did in Game 5, at least, for 5 or 6 innings against San Diego. But, they don't. That's it. Those are their three starting. Like, that's it. They got three starting pitching. They got three starting pitchers. They'll throw Flaherty at you. They got Buehler, and they got Yamamoto. Other than that, you can see bullpen games. Now, it's been successful for them. It's worked for them. In fact, they considered for a long time doing it Game 5 as opposed to pitching Yamamoto. Like it's they believe it as a weapon. They're a very analytical-based team, and if they have the guys rested, they actually think it's something that suits them. But it didn't suit them in this game, that's for sure. Danny in Belrose. What's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, Chris. I'm back. How's it going?
That's going well. Where you been?
On vacation.
Oh, where'd you go? Wait a second. Didn't you listen to Positive Tommy? He told you don't make any vacation plans for October. What the hell were you doing?
Well, it was my 40th birthday. Yeah.
Oh.
It is staycation,
I got you. Happy birthday.
So, thank you. So, good game last night. Rodon pitched well. I'll give up 3 hits. And I like Stan's home run, Soto's home run. I'm still worried about Judge. The guy's barely hitting in the postseason. I hope it doesn't really, hurt their chances overall.
I'm not worried about Judge. I mean, he has the, in my mind, I'm not trying to make excuses for him, but that first at bat, he had a miserable pitch called a strike. It changed the entire complexity of that at bat. Then he walks, scores a run on the wild pitch, hits a sac fly on his fourth at bat. He got an RBI in this game. He got on. His on-base percentage is around 400 throughout this series. I know you need him to do damage. I'm not trying to say it's okay not to do anything, but if he is taking his walks, he's having decent at bats. Again, his on-base percentage is around 400. I mean, he's not been brutally bad where he's never on base. Like, he's contributing. You got a sacrifice fly on a walk. He'll come through. I'm not worried about Judge at all. And they're winning. They're winning without him. He's too good to struggle forever. The fear is he struggles through a 5-game set and gets knocked out. Like, that's the fear. The fear is he's miserable against the Royals and they find a way to beat you. And you go, geez, Judge, you did nothing for 5 games. Now they're winning games. You got Cole on the mound. So you have Juan Soto there with you. Giancarlo stands on an absolute tear. The pitching, the bullpen doesn't give up runs. And right now it just feels like the Yankees are in a good spot against the team that they've played well historically in the postseason. And this is a big star for Cole. This is the kind of game you don't want to lose. Right? As much as the Yankees got this victory, you feel good about Cole on the mound. If the Yankees lose this game, if Cole doesn't pitch well or the offense gets completely, shut down by Bibee, which is their ace, like if you lose this game, now all of a sudden you've lost your Cole start, you're tied 1-1, home field advantage goes back to Cleveland, and now you're throwing Clark Schmidt and Luis Gil in 3 and 4. Now again, their pitching stinks. You're going to get Matthew Boyd and whomever they're going to throw at you, but this is an important game. You do not, right now, they don't want to lose Cole starts in this postseason. You do not want to lose Cole starts. Take advantage. Go up 2-0 and really only need one game. That's the formula for me. You win this game tonight, you head to Cleveland needing one of the three, and then you head home needing to get one of two back at home in 6 and 7. I mean, theoretically, do I want the sweep? Sure. Do I want to win in Cleveland? Sure. But I'm just saying that's what you need to do. The formula for a win while struggling and having a normal, typical series without just dominating is you win these two, you head on the road, you take one of three, you head back home needing only a split in the Bronx for 6 and 7. That's the formula for a typical series that you expect it to go long. Now, I don't know how I feel about the series. I do, but I'm afraid to say it. 888, I don't want to put it out there. 888-808-1019. 2 hours down, one more to go. McMonagle here with you. We talk Jets. We talk some baseball. I'd rather focus on the good. We know where the Jets are. Another miserable freaking loss, despite the fact that I thought the offense was better than it's been. I thought Aaron Rodgers was better than it's been, but the same old stuff keeps creeping up. Penalties falling down. Mental gaffes for defense. Not holding the edge, all the same crap that has kept the Jets from winning these type of games year in and year out, even with Aaron Rodgers, has kept them from winning last night. But we got a game two tonight. Cole on the mound looking to go up 2-0 in Cleveland. We got the Mets roaring back with a leadoff home run from Lindor and a grand slam from Bientos. They're tied at 1. The Yankees looking to go up 2-0. And by the end of today, we could be 5 wins away from a Subway Series. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the fan. We'll be right back.